6. We are starting a series. Again, I don't know how long this will go, but we're starting a Sunday morning series entitled Refraining or Retraining Wrong Thinking. Retraining wrong thinking that we may have. And I want to use the message this morning as the foundation as we go forward, more specifically in certain topics. Because there are things in our life that we believe because we've either always heard it or, somebody told us it was true, whatever. We have a lot of thinking that really is not based on truth, all right? And sometimes it's just part of our culture. It's part of our bringing up, the whole Santa Claus tradition, the Easter Bunny, just being tradition that a lot of people are just raised, it's just part of life. Not really part of life, but part of culture, part of family traditions and stuff. I personally don't celebrate the Easter Bunny. I've never seen an Easter Bunny lay any colored eggs before. I don't celebrate Santa Claus because, my hopes were dashed when I was a little boy and we didn't have a chimney and there was no way for him to get in. And, of course, I found out my dad was the guy because he was eating the cookies and drinking the milk. It's just, you think about it, just thinking about even Santa Claus, I won't stay on this long, but, he's all in red. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back with a vesture dipped in red. He's a guy who is supposed to be all jolly. Well, who's supposed to give us joy? Jesus Christ. Again, it's a substitute for who Jesus is because who gives gifts unto man? Who is it that ascended, took captivity captive, ascended up and gave gifts to men? Jesus Christ. He's given us gifts. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities to be able to serve him, just to be able to be used of him. So again, those are just things that a lot of people just partake in, something that's not a big deal. But listen, let's really live our life truthfully for the Lord, who is a God of truth, all right? If you partake in those things, I'm not your judge or anything. What I want to do, though, is give you truth so that you can help better prepare yourself for the day when you will meet your Lord and Savior face to face. I'm not going to be at the judgment seat with Jesus. No. I'm going to be in line with the rest of God's people, waiting my turn, sweating, going, I hope I did good. I hope I, get some crowns. Again, it's not about weighing our bad and good to see if we get into heaven. It's about the Lord wants to tell us, what he already knows, how we lived our life for him. After salvation, how we lived our life for him. And again, I think it hinges on our thinking. What is it that guides your life? What is it that you and I really hold on to help us live a life that is more pleasing to the Lord? Because we do want to please our Lord and Savior who was willing to lay down his life for you and me that we could have life. All right, God has not given us the spirit of fear, and we're going to look at that verse in a minute, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, as Paul writes to young Timothy, says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And words are very important, because what spirit have we been given as born-again believers? The Holy Spirit. He's been given us the Holy Spirit, so he has given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 11, if you would. The Bible says, knowing this, that, am I in the right place? Yeah. Knowing this, that our old man, verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we do thank you again this morning that we can be gathered together. Father, we ask that you would bless our time guiding us through the scriptures. I pray, Father, that over the next several Sundays, but especially today, Lord, you would just reveal to us maybe wrong thinking that we have, maybe things in our life that we follow after that obviously is not true, but we've been deceived by it. But Lord, as we talk about our new nature in Christ and being new creatures in Christ, Father, would you just give us understanding this morning, remind us of the truths about being a new person in Christ, because it's Jesus Christ that obviously transforms us. We can't transform ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that you've given us that wants to cultivate his fruit in our life and transform us more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior. Father, would you bless the children in junior church as well? Lord, open up their understanding of the Bible lessons, drawing their hearts unto Jesus. Father, we just ask that you would be glorified, that Christ would be lifted up. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Never fails. The more I get to talking, the more my throat just wants to close up. But anyway, if you'll listen very intently and carefully, I think you'll hear the Lord speaking to your heart and not me. But in Romans chapter 6, I want us to just think about this morning, real transformation in our life. Has there been a real transformation in your life since the moment you asked Christ to come into your life? Have you seen evidences in your life of you being a new creature in Christ? Because we are new creatures in Christ. We're not the old person. We cannot believe the lie, I've always been this way. I've always struggled with this. It's part of my family. We're Irish. We're German. We're this, we're that. It's just part of my DNA. As a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Doesn't mean we're not tempted with old sin, but old sin no longer has the chains around us. Those sins have been broken. We have been redeemed. We've been freed. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody once said that, oh, how did they say it? I'll think of it in a minute. There's sometimes, you know, again, we just think about the fact that, well, I've always struggled with this and all the different excuses that we have. The one excuse that we should always lean to as we're leaning on the everlasting arms is, wait, Jesus is my Redeemer. He died for my sins. So my excuse is, Jesus, you're my strength. I don't have to do this sin anymore. I don't have to have this wrong thinking anymore. Because there are some people that still struggle with whether or not God loves them. And yet he manifested the greatest way that he loves, and that is the fact that Jesus died for us, that we may have life. I've never had anyone die for me. Now, there are people who put their life on the line. Police officers do, firefighters do, parents do, grandparents. I mean, we will put our life on the line for someone we love. I mean, if I see a neighbor's kid in the street and a car comes zooming down the street, I'll run out there and try to save the kid, you know, grab the kid out of the way. I'm not just going to stand there. So we will put our life on the line for people, but Jesus laid down his life willingly for all people, that all might come to know him as their Lord and Savior. I know not everybody will, but this morning I want you to think about yourself and the real transformation that Jesus brings into our life, because it's the foundation to be able to go forward in our Christian life and pull down the strongholds that have been built up in our minds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then the verse goes on, he is a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have some new things in your life. Yes, the old you still wants to rear up its ugly head. The sins that the devil had you grip with still wants to tempt you with those things. It could be past abuses. Maybe you were abused as a child, and the devil wants to just keep that just on your mind and in your heart gripped with, well, how could somebody mistreat me like that? But you've been redeemed. You've been washed. You've been forgiven. You are a child of the Lord. Listen, the only the only power that somebody has over our life is the power we give them. By continuing to think about what that person did or what that person said. Because the more we think about it, the more we get upset about it, the more it grieves us, the more we're angry about it, the more we have, you know, the more we start questioning God, that person could care less. Whatever tragedy has happened in your life, don't let it still have power over you, because Jesus has broken the chains of sin. And it doesn't matter what it is. And someone might say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't understand the things that have happened to me in my life. There's not a single person in here who hasn't had something done to them in their life. Whether it was, again, maybe you weren't physically abused, but verbally abused by somebody, stabbed in the back by someone who claimed to be your friend. Again, we can't allow things that had happened to continue to control our thoughts, because it hinders our relationship with the Lord. It hinders us from getting closer to the Lord, because when we still allow somebody or something in our life to have control over us, whether you know it or not, we have our arms extended against God, that we will not get too close to God, though we pray and we ask, you know, to get closer, Lord, do this in my life, yet we have this arm extended out because we've been hurt in some way by somebody or some event has happened in our life. But I want you to just get this in your heart this morning. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? You're 100% sure, no doubt, no reservation. Then we have to live like it. We have to think like it. Because if we think contrary, if there's any doubt in our relationship with the Lord, then we will continue to struggle. We will continue to give place to sin and continue to allow past events, maybe current events, to control us and keep our relationship from flourishing with the Lord. I want us to see this morning in verses 6 and 7, the fact that you and I, hopefully you've had a personal transformation. You've had a personal transformation. Look at verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, your sin and my sin were nailed to his cross. He didn't die for sins he committed. He died for the sins we have committed and will commit. You realize you and I will still commit sin until we see Jesus face to face? You may not commit, certain sins, but, you know, they'll just be sins, because sin is anything that's against God. The wrong thought, the wrong word, the wrong attitude. You know, waking up in the morning not wanting to get up and, like, just taking an alarm clock and chunking it across the room because, well, that's not a good attitude. So that would be considered sin because we didn't wake up. Oh, it's a new day, clicking our heels. I mean, not too many people do that. I think my wife does. I mean, she's a morning person. I'm not. I think I hit my alarm, you know, four times this morning before I finally got up. And then I think I even changed the time to a little later and then hit the snooze a couple more. I didn't want to get up, right? Who wants to get up in the morning other than those that just, you know, are raring to go. But anyway, when you think about just the personal transformation, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Before salvation, before the Holy Spirit came into you, before you asked Jesus to be your Savior, you and I were slaves to sin. We were in bondage. We did things that we had no control over. Again, just, you know, I used to smoke. Started smoking when I was, took my first cigarette smoke when I think I was like 8 or 9. And by the time I was 11 years old, I was smoking. And then it just got to, you know, by the time I was early 20s, I was 2 packs a day. I had tried numerous times to quit. But when I would go a certain amount of time, 30 minutes to an hour with no smoke, I started getting agitated. I'd start getting angry, start getting frustrated. Go take, smoke a cigarette. That's such a false peace and a false calmness. But if you have ever had anything that controlled your life and you tried to quit it without Jesus Christ, you would have the anger and stuff just welling up on the inside. I mean, you would just get agitated and just, I mean, without the power of Christ in your life and my life, we cannot quit sin. We can't say no to sin because there's such a grip. Pornography has such a grip on people that they cannot stop, though many want to, but they find themselves going back and back and back to it because there's a spiritual battle going on. It doesn't matter what it is, smoking, drinking alcohol, watching pornography, watching radar, it doesn't matter what the sin is. Without Jesus Christ, we are chained to that sin. We are servants to that sin. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and those chains have been broken, we're no longer slaves to sin. Now it's a choice. Now we choose what we want to do. The temptation comes. Remember, the Bible tells us that we will be tempted. But what we do determines on who we are leaning upon. Am I leaning upon something or someone to help me get through the day? Or am I leaning upon Jesus Christ and his everlasting arms to help me get through the day? The old man is dead. Again, if you have been changed by Jesus Christ, if you are born again, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the old man, the old you is dead. Notice he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And that even goes for wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. You and I, we've got to base our life upon the Word of God. This has to be the foundation of our life, the Word of God. If it's not, you and I will continue to struggle. Every Christian will continue to struggle in their life if this is not the foundation. If we're not walking in the newness of life that we have been given. The Bible says in Luke 23, verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died for you and me that we may live. Again, when someone gets baptized and immersed in water, it's a picture. It's a picture of being buried with Christ and then rising in newness of life to walk with the Lord, because the old man is crucified with Christ and we walk in newness with the Lord. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made alive us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The old man is dead. We can't use the excuse. Again, if you are 100% sure you're saved, you cannot use the excuse, I've always struggled with this. I've always been this way. No, no, no. You are a new creature in Christ. We are to be allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate his fruit in our life and to change us more into the image of Christ. The body of sin is completely powerless. Sin has no power in your life and my life other than what we give it. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, the Bible tells us also in Psalms, "Where shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God." If we really want our life to count for Christ and we really want victory in our life over things in our life that it seems like we're struggling with, we just can't get victory over it, we have got to rely upon Jesus Christ. We have got to get it in our hearts and minds, okay, I'm not the same person. Somebody may know that you struggled with that. Do you think anyone forgot that Paul was a murderer before he became a Christian? No, that's why nobody wanted to have anything to do with him when he tried to, after his conversion, and he tried to, you know, join the Christians there when he went up to Damascus. I mean, nobody wanted to have anything, no, because he was coming. Ananias told the Lord, as the Lord appeared to Ananias and said, "Hey, I want you to go over to the street called Straight, and there's a man there, Saul of Tarsus. I want you to go lay your hands upon him because he has seen in a vision that you're going to come and you're going to restore his sight." And Ananias says, "Lord, I've heard he's come with letters to haul Christians back." And the Lord said, "No, he's a chosen vessel." People were kind of leery because, wait, he was killing Christians. So you're always going to have somebody that remembers how you were. But they shouldn't be able to look now and go, "You're still the same person." They should see something different. The body of sin is powerless. We're told to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do we do that? Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to try to talk a little fast this morning, but I want you to look at some verses in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, because sin no longer is any Christian born-again believer's master. Sin has no power over us other than the place that we give it in our life. But how do we walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, so we don't, you know, choose to do the things we're tempted with, so we don't, you know, say things we shouldn't say, so we don't let anger lead us instead of the peace of Christ? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 18 through 20, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess," right? He's giving an example here. He's not condoning drinking alcohol. He's saying, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because someone who is filled with alcohol, they have consumed so much alcohol, they're not in the right mind. They're not in the right mind. They cannot respond correctly to things. Their response time is not what it should be. I mean, they can't think straight. They do things they normally wouldn't do. They say things they normally wouldn't say when they are consumed with alcohol. And the Lord is telling us, look, be filled with the Spirit, that you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How can we walk in the Spirit? By giving ourselves to the Word of God, to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Letting the Word of God dwell richly in our heart, letting our minds be saturated with truth, letting our focus be on the Lord and not the things of this world. Because many people go to different substances to be able to get through a day. Some people, you know, they get home after work and they just want to relax, you know, and they'll get a glass of wine. Some people just veg on TV. You realize there's nothing on TV that's going to help you or me get closer to God? It's just going to distort our thinking. Our righteous soul is going to be vexed by what we see and by what we hear. Therefore, we're going to question the things of God. We're not going to be quick to rely upon the Lord. I'm using this as the foundation for the series because we have to get in our heart and mind that we have a foundation in Christ that gives us victory in this world, and more specifically in the life that you're living and the things that you struggle with, the things that you want victory over, the things that you want God to help you to stop doing, and areas that you want the Lord to help you to be more like Christ and to have that boldness as a believer. Again, we got to understand that, you know, sin has no power over us other than us giving it place. I want you to look at verse 7, verse 7 of Romans chapter 6. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Kind of understand that concept, right? When someone dies, their thinking changes. They're no longer in bondage to any sin. Cancer has no bearing upon them anymore. Whatever their struggles were, they're released from it when they die. They're no longer struggling with what they struggled with in this world. As a child of God, you and I were dead in Christ, but yet we still live. Paul said it this way, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me and loved me. It's Galatians 2:20. That's the radical change that you and I have had. Something happened on the day that you asked Christ into your life and you asked him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Lord and Savior, that he took up residence in your life through the Holy Spirit. And now you have the Holy Spirit in you that is cultivating his fruit, helping us to be more like Christ because we were predestined. Every person that is going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God predestined to be conformed into his image, and the Holy Spirit helps that process in our life, helps us to get victory over sin and to be able to say no where we once were sold under sin and we did those things that we did to be able to get relief, but now we get relief through the Holy Spirit and through Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Basically, he's saying every day, just as you put on clothes, you know, before you leave your house, you know, you put on whatever you're going to wear for the day. Think about that in context of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, where you're thinking, I'm going to walk with the Lord today. I'm going to let Christ work in my life. I'm going to yield to the Lord. Lord, will you help me with whatever I'm going to face today? Help me, Lord, not to have the carnal mindset, but the spiritual mindset that I can lean upon the everlasting arms. You're going to help me because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. You're going to guide me because I'm a child of yours. I mean, if you have Christ in you, you are a child of the King. And there has been a radical change in our life. We have a position in Christ, and we have a change in Christ that should be reflected on the outside. Romans 6:18 says this, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Is God a liar? No, the Bible says God's not a man that he should lie. So if God says in his word, being then made free from sin, doesn't mean that you're not tempted, but you're free from it. You're not a slave to it. You're not in bondage to it. Ye have become the servants of righteousness. Now we get to serve the Lord freely. Because maybe you want to serve God, but there's just struggles in your life that prevent you from doing it. And every week you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then the week passes by and you didn't do it. Well, that's because there is a stronghold in your life and it has to be pulled down. And we're going to talk about that next week, the strongholds in our life. Listen, ye became the servants of righteousness. Jesus did that. He tore down that veil. He rent the veil in twain from top to bottom. He gave us a way into the throne room of grace. I don't know about you, but I sure do want to get closer to God. I'm not there yet. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm like, you know, this with God. There's still a lot of work in my life that has to be done, just as in your life as well. We're all on a journey. But listen, we want to finish this race well. It's better to start the race not well and finish it well than to start the race well and not finish it well. I want to finish the course that God's laid before me, and I want you to finish your course that God has laid before you. But we can't do it unless we do it God's way. Unless we do it God's way. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where God not given us a spirit, the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is not of God. What do you fear? That's not of God. But I'm glad there's times where we do become afraid. David said in Psalm 56, 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Choosing to trust God instead of being gripped with fear. Because there's just times where, you know what, we're caught off guard and, you know, we got to come up with a decision. We got to make a choice and maybe, you know, I don't know, have you ever been afraid to make the wrong choice? Because, Lord, I've made so many wrong choices. I don't want to make another wrong choice. And you're afraid to make a choice. But we got to trust God. Lord, I don't want to make the wrong choice. So, Lord, would you show me? And truly believe that God will show you what you're supposed to do. And even give you the thoughts, establishing your thoughts. Because again, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when I'm faced with a struggle, then I'm going to choose to lean upon those everlasting arms. I'm going to choose to trust God and to follow the Lord. That's changing the thinking, not going with the same old thinking. Well, you know, I have failed this 10 times before, I just can't change. We can't, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can change through Christ by letting him do the work in me. Remember, God said that he started a good work in us, and he's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will continue to work in us. Look at verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Again, there's people that fear death. But once they die, they don't fear it anymore because it's over. It's gone. You realize as a child of God, we shouldn't fear death. There was a time in my life I feared death. And even when I wasn't saved, I knew about God. Lord, don't let me die in a burning car. Don't let me die by drowning. Man, I had all these things I didn't want to die in. That's not how I want to die. Lord, just let me die in my sleep. Just let me go to sleep and open my eyes and that's it. You know, once I had Christ in my life and the peace that passes all understanding, well, God knows how I'm going to die. He knows by what method. If I die before the rapture, I don't fear it anymore. I don't fear death anymore. Do you fear death? Do you fear dying? That we may be afraid of the process, you know, of, you know, how am I going to go if, you know, if the trumpet doesn't sound and I don't, you know, fly out of here. I'd rather fly, right? Fly than die. But you know what? I'm in God's hands. You realize that as a child of God, if God allows you to go through that process and me too, where we die, even if it's a prolonged death, there's peace in it. Because God's not into tormenting his children. There's nothing that we have to fear. There are so many testimonies of Christian saints who died singing hymns while being burned at the stake alive. Now, all throughout history, there's eyewitness accounts of different Christian men and women having joy. In fact, they were doing it so much when the Christians, the true Christians, were being hunted and killed, they were singing so much there at the stake, being burned alive, that they had to start screwing their mouths shut because the wicked accusers didn't want to hear the songs because they were singing about Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is there's nothing you and I have to fear. If you're a new creature in Christ, there's a present newness in your life. In Romans chapter, in Romans 6, verse 8 and 9, look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And there's nothing we should be afraid of in this life. Nothing we should be gripped with fear over. But we have a future hope that you and I can really think about. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God's Spirit dwells within you? As a born-again believer, you've got God in you, dwelling in you. And we're living with him. We're walking with him. That's when we can say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's why I like to say, you know, walking and talking with God every day. Don't have to be in this building just to hear from God. I can be driving my car. I can be praying. Just don't close my eyes, right? Because I need to see where I'm going. But I can pray anywhere. Why? Because we are alive in Christ. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Again, you're alive in Christ. We're to be seeking the things above, all right? Not the things of this earth, but we're to be seeking the things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You and I should be seeking Christ every day so that we're not struggling, so that we're not, again, tormented in our minds, and that we're not walking around aimlessly, but we're walking around because we have purpose, and that purpose is to get to know God more and to get closer to him and to walk in the newness of life that was paid and bought for us by the Lord. Somebody said this, our old history ends with the cross. Our old history ends with the cross. Our new history begins with the resurrection. Again, you and I have new life in Christ. New life in Christ. A sin no longer is in control. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Again, Jesus died for your sins. He broke the bondage, the chain. He lives within you. Someone may ask you about the hope that lies within you because they're seeing a difference in your life. They're seeing something that's different. They're seeing that you have a relationship with somebody that makes you happy and joyous beyond any human companionship. And you're able to tell them because it's the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is helping me. That's the foundation of my new life, is Jesus Christ. Alexander McLaurin said this one time, the risen life of Jesus is the nourishment and strengthening and blessing and life of a Christian. You realize there is no life without the resurrection? You and I have no life without the resurrection. If I don't believe that the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened, I'm still dead in my sins. I'm still headed to hell. Because it is the foundation of true Christianity that God became a man to die for man's sin, that man may become a son of God and dwell with him forever. That's pretty much the gospel. That's the love of God, that God would descend in a bodily form and he would die on the cross of Calvary, be that substitute sacrifice, shedding that innocent blood for our sins so that we could be saved. Now, I want you to think about this. Look at, if you would, 1 John chapter 3. Just a couple more minutes. 1 John chapter 3. Not only do we have a future hope because of Christ, but I want you to think about the future resurrection. There is a resurrection coming for you and me, and that I'm looking forward to that, a new body. Everything's new. We get that new body in Christ. But listen, doesn't matter what goes on in this world. Doesn't matter what goes on in your life. What matters is that you put emphasis on your relationship with Christ. That you work on it. That you get closer to the Lord. That you depend upon the Lord. That you lean upon those everlasting arms. You realize many of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ and be ashamed. I say many as in many Christians, not necessarily people in this room, but maybe. How much have we done for Christ? How much have we lived for him? And there are no excuses, because there's no excuse with age, no excuse with physical ailment. We all can do things for the Lord. Some, all they can do is pray. Prayer is important. But those that are physically able, mentally able, we should be living our best life for the Lord. Because I'm going to stand before him one day and give an account for the things I've done and the things I haven't done after salvation. Because he saved us to live for him, not to live for ourselves. But he blesses us. He's given us a life. I mean, he's given me a wife and kids that he expects me to provide for and take care of. But they're not to come before him in my spiritual relationship. Because the only way I can really do for my family what I need to is to be right with God. So that God guides me and leads me in my decisions and the things that I do. So when you think about 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 2. The Bible says, "Beloved, know, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Again, we're going to see him one day. That really should be on the forefront. Don't put it on the back burner of your mind. Let that be on the front of your mind, that every day you're thinking, you know what? Today could be the day that I see my Savior face to face. And we, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, guide my life. Help me to fulfill your will for me today. But I dare say that that's not on the forefront of a lot of our minds. It's on the back. Well, you know. I remember being younger. I mean, the older I get, and the more I realize, you know what? I'm a year closer. I'm a step closer to seeing my Lord and Savior. Back when I was, you know, a teenager, back when I was in my 20s, you know, when I'm 80, I'll live for the Lord. You know, I'll seek him. But all that changed in a moment. God used some things in my life to change that. And I just think in the days that we're living in, the more things you see happening in the world with Israel and just world events, we need to be seeking God more and more and really letting God work in our life and letting God give us the victories he wants us to have. Look at verse 11. Last verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Though we're still living, we're told, reckon yourself dead. Consider yourself dead. Because we're crucified with Christ, but yet we're alive because of Jesus Christ. He's telling us to live your best life for the Lord. We need to recognize every day the power of the cross of Christ. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, if you were to leave out that last phrase and just say to somebody, "Hey, who is he that overcometh the world?" People would have all kinds of opinions on how to overcome the world. But as a child of God, we overcome the world because we believe in Jesus Christ. We live our life and surrenderance to him. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And our faith is to be settled and steadfast in Christ. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" You know why so many Christians are going to be deceived when the Antichrist shows up? Because they're not really born again. They have the title Christian, they're part of a church, but they've never been born again, or maybe they grew up going to church, but they never accepted Christ, they said a prayer, but they never really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians that are not born again are going to be deceived. We don't want to be deceived. God hasn't left us. God hasn't given us over to the deceiver. But listen, overcometh the world, we overcome the lies of this world, we overcome the sin of this world, we overcome everything this world is through Jesus Christ. You and I don't have to have the wrong thinking, we don't have to have the wrong motives, we don't have to make the wrong decisions and choices each and every day. Every day we have to recognize that I have power through the cross of Jesus Christ because he died for me that I might live for him. And we recognize that Christ is with us daily. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I hope you have a personal relationship with Christ. I hope it is real. Don't just say, yeah, I know Jesus is my Savior. How's your relationship? Because we like physical relationships. We like to have friends. We like to be able to converse with people and have people, you know, think about us and do things for us. And yet we have a Savior every day waiting to do great and mighty things for us. But many times we miss out on it because we're not relying upon him. We're not leaning upon those arms. We're leaning upon caffeine to help us get the day started. We're leaning upon food to help us be comforted through the day because, you know, it's been a bad day, or alcohol or Valium or some type of medication to help us just to, you know, get through the day. And yet the Lord stands before each of us with his arms extended out, wanting to be that help, wanting to be that comfort, wanting to be that strength for each and every one of his children. We have to daily recognize that there is power in the cross and we have the presence of Christ in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a reminder as we wrap it up. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't know about you, but the Christian life is not a boring life. It's not an empty life if you're walking with the Lord, if you're seeking God with all your heart. What are the struggles that you have? Seek God with those struggles. As God guides and directs, we're going to touch on some struggles over the next several Sundays because we've got to lean upon the everlasting arms of Christ. We've got to stop letting lies be in our head and affecting our hearts for the Lord. Again, I'm not your judge. Nobody's your judge. But we all need to be conscious of who the judge is, and he's keeping track. One day we're going to stand before him. I never did like getting in trouble with my dad, because I knew he had a special tool to help me have the right frame of mind. And I know spanking is looked down upon, but the Bible talks about the blueness of a wound cleansing. Because you know what? I never wanted to be on the wrong side of that belt. But when I was, it sure helped me straighten up. It helped me to get perspective back in the proper order that, you know, dad, authority, obey, right? I mean, just, but same time, I knew he loved me. So I never wanted to have those special meetings with him. Never wanted to have those board meetings, right? They didn't profit me. Well, they did profit me a little bit, but it sure hurt in the process. But there's coming a day when you and I will stand before our Savior. That's what I want us to think about. That's what I want us to have on the forefront. I'm going to see Jesus face to face one day. I don't want to stand before him ashamed because I refuse to get things right in my life. I refuse to change my thinking. I refuse to let him be number one in my life. Old things are passed away. Maybe up until you came to church this morning, your focus wasn't God. Old things are passed away. Don't let the past control what you do for God at this moment and going forward. Because we live in the age of grace. We have a loving, gracious Father that says, okay. Again, Peter messed up, didn't he? You already know what Peter did. Did Jesus point out to Peter what he did? Read it. No. He didn't say, Peter, you denied me. Peter, you said you wouldn't do it and you did it. No, you read the account. Jesus just said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Never said anything about what he did. Do you love me? And then the Lord said, follow me. I got some things for you to do. That's the loving Father we have. We're the ones that always bring up the past. We're the ones that always think about the things that we did. That's covered under the blood. God's forgiven you. We have to consciously move forward and let God do what he wants to do in our life. Let Jesus Christ truly be reigning over your life. Let him be the Lord and King of your life, because he owns you. He owns me. He's the one with his precious blood bought us back from slavery. But he doesn't treat us like slaves. He walks with us as friends. As the Bible says, joint heirs. We're heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. He's going to share what's his with us, with all of his children. What a blessing.